Welcome to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner, shares insight into the financial tools, techniques, and temperaments needed to make the most of your retirement dollars and relationships. Danielle bridges the gap between Wall Street and Main Street, bringing complex financial topics down to earth. Danielle will educate and inspire you as you define and refine your version of prosperity.
Hello and welcome to Wealth Done Differently Retirement with Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner. And I want to tell you right now, before I even say hello to Danielle, you as the audience need to know something. Danielle is traveling right now, and she is so committed to you that she has taken her equipment on the road. And so some of these, this podcast and the next podcast you're going to hear, she's doing it while she's traveling because, I mean, she's the hardest worker I know. So there's going to be some little glitches here and there. I apologize up front. There's nothing I can do about them. And Danielle just wants to get this information into your hands because it's crucial. It's end of year, and that's what we're going to be covering today. So, good afternoon, Danielle. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, Eric.
All right. Are you excited?
For the end of the year or for this podcast? Both. We're excited for both.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're getting close to the end of the year. I know that's kind of the theme today. So, what are we talking about to get started?
Well, I have been working with clients this fourth quarter, and there's always lots of stuff going on in people's lives, and talking about financial stuff may not be top of mind. The things I will talk to clients about, and first of all, we'll start with that question. What are the three top of mind items that may have financial implications for you in 2020? Now, people are barely ready to be done with 2019, let alone looking into 2020. But I think it's important to look ahead a little bit and maybe make some tactical financial moves towards the end of the year that will benefit you both now and into next year. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone for joining us, and I truly hope that you will glean some insight about this new fall season of your life. These podcasts are going to dig into a variety of things, from technical pieces and into the quality of life issues that you're going to be facing in retirement. I just want to make sure that you don't take any of this personally and that you will talk to your financial professionals and make sure that your life situation is out on the table so that folks can really understand who you are and what's the best opportunity to walk alongside you. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, why don't we dive into some ideas?
Well, before you do that, I am going to say one thing that Danielle will not say. So audience members, those of you that are listening, when she says, don't take this personally and go consult a financial professional, if you have a great one, go talk to him. If you've got one that you're just not sure about, get a second opinion. And I would say Danielle, of course. And if you don't have one at all, definitely reach out to Danielle. She'll give you some contact information at the end of this podcast. But for now, let's get started, and then you guys can make up your own minds on who you want to call at the end of this. Sorry, I know you won't do it for yourself, Danielle, so I'm going to do it because you're amazing. So, all right, where do we start?
Thank you, Eric. First of all, if you are still working, even if your spouse is not working, you can do your own or a spousal IRA for this year if you haven't fully gotten that funded. A lot of times people will forget. They'll do their own, but if they have a non-working spouse, they kind of forget about that one.
Good point.
If you're under 50, the limit is $6,000, but if you are over 50, you can get an additional $1,000 in. Understanding that you have up until April 15th of next year to do it, we always know that time in the market is better than timing the market. So get that money in sooner than later.
All right. Yeah, that's very important. And they can do that in one lump sum, correct?
You can do it one lump sum. You could do it dollar cost averaging. But again, if you're looking at end of year, if you haven't done it yet, you're going to have to put a big, pretty good chunk in at one time. Whether it's your own personal IRA or if you have an employer-sponsored plan, you know, it might work a little differently with an employer-sponsored plan, and that has to do with your payroll, what you would actually end up with in your pocket versus what you might have them hold out for contribution to a 401k, 403b, 457. 37, something on that line of things. Again, you may have maxed out on this, and I understand that maxing out at $19,000 is a pretty good chunk for anybody to put away, but there are folks that are able to do that. And if you are over 50, you can do an additional $6,000 of catch-up. You know, take a look at what your end of year income is still going to be. You may still have a paycheck or two that if you could dump all of that into your 401k and get that deduction for this year, that could really be of benefit to you, mm-hmm. both now on your tax return and to set something aside for your future.
Yeah, and I don't want anybody to be confused when I said you could do it all in one lump sum. You don't have to, though. So if your maximum is $6,000, you haven't done any, you don't actually have to do $6,000. You could do three or two or exactly. even one just to get started.
Yeah, you okay. know, and I always encourage people to look at trying to do that dollar cost averaging. So maybe starting in 2020, you started out in January and you break it up over the 12 months instead of trying to get something in just at the last part of the year.
Definitely.
If, you know, a simple plan, that's a, you know, somebody that is got fewer than 50 employees and you can personally contribute up to $13,000 or 25% of your income. We love that age 50. We get, you know, there are benefits of being over 50 and you can get a lot of extra change into these retirement plans. With a simple plan, you can get an additional $3,000. Also, with your health savings accounts, you can an individual can put $3,500 in, and families can get up to $7,000. If you're over the magic age of 55, you can get in an additional $1,000 for both the individual and the family contributions. So that health savings account is sometimes something that people forget about. That's if you can participate in a high deductible health program and have the opportunity to either open or contribute to those health savings accounts. They are a nice way to put money aside for down the road. It might be next year down the road or further down the road, but you do get those tax deductions in the year that you make the contribution. Mm-hmm. And another one that people can miss is that required minimum distribution. If you've hit that magic age of 70 and a half and over, you want to make sure you get that out of your IRA or you get penalized 50% of what you should have taken. That's painful.
Yeah, that is a lot.
It's painful. And then you get taxed on that. You know, so it's just this really unwieldy ball that is pretty ugly. Your required minimum distribution is the amount. It's going to be based on the account value in your IRA at the end of the year, December 31st of last year. And it's considered ordinary income on your tax return. So, you know, you have to start taking it. And a way to get around this is if you want to keep it off your tax return, you could just give it away to a qualified charitable organization. Mm-hmm. These are, this is an amazing way to give it directly to if you're now taking standard deductions, and we'll drill down on that a little bit later. But you can keep that IRA distribution off of your first page of your tax return if you give it away to a charitable organization of your choice.
Yeah, and that's really being organized on how you're giving your money. And I know there's a lot of strategies, and I'm sure you'll touch on a little bit later, or else I'm sure you could also dedicate an entire podcast to. But that there's so many different ways to do that and make it worth your while, make it worth the charity's while. I mean, they're going to be thrilled to get a gift at the end of the year.
Exactly, which is the perfect segue. Thank you for chunk your charitable donations.
There you go.
Here we go. You know, you may have heard this before, but I know many times the more we hear it, the more it may sink in. You know, this was the first year that we really experienced the opportunity to discern whether a standard deduction was better or an itemized, taking that itemized deduction on your return. In 2018, the standard deductions went up, $12,000 per individual, and if you were over the age of 65, you got an extra $1,300. for a bulk of people, this means they're now taking the standard deduction instead of itemized. But you really want to look at, you know, take a look at your 2018 return and determine, you know, there may be some techniques, and this is one of them. We look at chunking and dumping, what I call chunking, chunk and lump and dump, chunk and dump your IRA, I'm sorry, your charitable contributions. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if there's a couple over the age of 65 and they've got $8,000 in state and local property taxes, let's say they've got a couple grand in deductible medical expenses and $6,000 in mortgage interest, and they've given away $8,000 in charitable contributions so far, their itemized deductions would be about $24,000. Mm-hmm. If this were year end today, they'd be better off taking the standard deduction because they were over the age of 65 and their standard deduction is going to be $26,600. However, because they're close, they could look at contributing more this year into a donor advised fund. Mm-hmm. Or to an organization of their choice and kind of earmark it. This is our giving for 2020, but we're going to do a bigger amount in 2019 to get that to take advantage of our itemized deduction this year. And then next year, use the standard deduction. So it's really worth talking to your financial advisor, your accountant, and, you know, looking at what your giving strategy is to determine if this is going to be a benefit for you.
Yeah, I think that the example that I've heard before, and I've actually spoken with a few people, is if you're giving to a charity or an organization on a monthly basis, then looking to add all that up, and church is a wonderful example of that. Most people will tithe and give offering on a monthly basis. If at the end of the year, you can project what you want to give for that next year and you're able to give it in one lump sum at the end of 2019 for 2020, you're not, the church is getting the money earlier, which is good. You're getting a better deduction for 2019. And then 2020, you don't have to worry about that monthly tithe and offering that you would normally do. You've already given it, and you can feel free to give above and beyond if you want to, or to other yep. organizations. I mean, there's all sorts of ways to do it. It's not, I want to make it clear, Danielle, that you're not saying give an extra $10,000 above what you would normally. It's just rearranging the timeline.
Right. And you can also use, that's the beauty of donor advised funds. Mm-hmm. The donor advised fund is a 501c3 in and of itself. So you could technically give $10,000 to a donor advised fund, and then you as the donor designate the beneficiaries that would get a monthly contribution in 2020. You're just getting the deduction in 2019, but you could in actuality still give it away on a monthly basis in 2020.
That's perfect. That's great.
They're beautiful. Yeah, they're beautiful tools. I love them.
Yeah, nice. All right, what's next?
Now it's a good time to revisit that mortgage. You know, interest rates have been falling again this fall, and if you have been putting it off, the idea of refinancing, now is a good time to take a look at it. I think there's a lot of things to consider with this, especially if you're moving into that fall season of life. One is, how close are you to having it paid off? Is it really, you know, reasonable to go in and refinance? So how long do you anticipate being in your home? What type of mortgage do you have right now? What type of closing costs would you be incurring? There's a lot of moving parts with this, especially as you're moving into the fall season of life. However, I do see a lot of people that are needing to look at their homes as a tool that they're going to need to access the equity in one way, shape, or form at some point in their retirement season.
Yeah, absolutely. And from my understanding, if you, depending on how many years you have left, if you're able to refinance, maybe you have 10 or 15 years left and you have the extra income per month, if you refinance and say, I want it to be a five-year loan, if there is such a thing, which I would assume there would be, that is so much more towards your principal than that would give you more of a deduction to meet that minimum requirement, correct?
Right. You definitely want to look at you know, crunch the numbers and play them out, you may be able to just pay more towards your current mortgage and have it paid off in 5 years and accomplish the same thing without getting hit with closing costs. So you need to weigh a variety of elements in this to determine, you know, if this is a wise decision or not. You know, with any of these, especially some of these that we're going to be getting into next with the harvesting gains and losses, you really want to discern if these are, you know, in the best interest of your, you know, your financial life, mm-hmm. your economic life, you know, all of the pieces that you're looking at right now, looking at our current economic season and what your cash flow needs are, both now and down the road, you know, again, all of these moving parts that I'm making a whole lot of suggestions to. Please talk to your professional advisors to make sure which of these fits is good for you.
Yep, absolutely.
Let's dive into a little bit more of a complicated one. This is where we've really been working with clients this last quarter. We've had a bountiful summer season, and it's time to look at harvesting gains and losses. We do this year round, but now is the time to really look at your investments that are exposed to taxation, which means they're sitting outside of your retirement accounts. You can strategically rebalance your portfolio in a way to minimize taxation. If you have paper losses on certain stocks or mutual funds, you can deduct, you should be able to deduct $3,000 in losses from your ordinary income and carry forward on any unused amounts for future years. Hmm. This is incredibly beneficial.
Yeah, that'd be great. Nobody likes losses, but if you have some, you might as well get something for it.
Yeah, you'll be paying less taxes.
Perfect.
You know, so it's a way to what we call harvest a loss. You also want to look at if you have gains. You may have gains in the same type of investments, and depending on what your cash flow needs are, you may want to sell some of them before the end of the year. If you can keep your taxable income, which would include the gains from any sales, and stay in the 10 or 12% income tax bracket, you would not be taxed on any of these long-term gains. This is very beneficial, especially when we're, you know, coming to the end of a summer season. We don't know when we're going to have an economic pullback, but we know that is a normal economic cycle, so it will happen. If you are taking, you know, income for cash flow purposes, this is a good way to do it. It's an opportune time to harvest gains, harvest losses, build up cash. Sometimes, even if you do get bounced into the 15% gain on capital gains, you have a gain. It's mm-hmm. nice to take that gain while you have it, especially if you need the income. If you are still in your working years and have gains in your brokerage account, you may even want to consider harvesting some of those gains and repositioning them into your tax sheltered accounts. Earlier, when I was talking about, you know, putting money into your IRA or even into a Roth IRA, you know, to take money out of your taxable accounts, reposition it into your tax deferred accounts is a strategic move that, you know, many people consider.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, again, there's so many different things to consider. Again, we're going to beat this into the ground, but please talk to a professional about this.
Yes. Another tool or technique that I use is gifting of investment gains. If you have children or grandchildren who are in lower tax brackets, it may make sense to gift them stock holdings instead of them, you know, getting cash for the holiday season. I always like to use this as a learning opportunity to talk about, you know, what is investing, what does it mean to invest for your future goals, and, you know, to open up these discussions can really, you know, bring families together in good ways. When you gift appreciated stock, the cost basis gets gifted to the recipient as well. But if you have a child or grandchild who is in college and hasn't had much earned income this year, they would be able to cash out of that stock to create a liquidity event and probably not pay capital gains on it.
Nice. That's great.
I think now is also an opportune time to reduce the financial clutter in our life, you know, to look back at the year and go, oh, wow, there's a gym membership subscription that I used for the first couple of months of the year, but now I haven't used. Maybe I need to get that canceled. Or are there apps on your phone that you're paying a buck a month for?
Yep, absolutely. That's one I was going to bring that up. If you didn't, those apps, they're handy, and all of a sudden you have four or five subscriptions for a buck or two each a month. It's like, wait a second, I don't even use that one anymore. Yeah, it does. It really does.
It adds up. It's a great time to look at consolidating accounts. You know, if you have old employer sponsor plans that could be rolled into your own personal IRA, or your idea of diversification was having accounts that, you know, six different custodians, and now you go, oh, well, that really isn't diversification. That's just complication. So let's take a look at what it would mean to simplify your life a little bit. Take a look at other financial tools that you have that are either no longer serving you or need to be, you know, recalibrated to fit into your current life season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
As we wind this down, I think it's really important, again, to prioritize planning, to look at, you know, 2020 as an opportunity to build on your wins from 2019, to be proactive, to look at the opportunities or even the challenges that may lie in wait, and to take a look at the financial implications of, you know, what may happen in 2020. Mm-hmm. And make the changes that are necessary. What do you want to replicate? What do you want to leave behind? Who do you have to talk to about this stuff? Who is going to be your advocate, your expedition leader, your guide, your cheerleader, and your educator? Like you mentioned at the beginning, I appreciate the opportunity to help folks optimize their financial possibilities as you unfold your life potential.
Yeah, absolutely. Danielle, this is great, great information. I will be talking at the end of the podcast here in a minute to encourage people to share these podcasts. This is exactly why, because this type of information needs to get into every family member's hand, and I just think it's so important. Do you have any closing advice for those that are listening to it and saying, you know what, she makes really good points. I just feel a little bit overwhelmed by all these different ideas and thoughts. What's your best advice to them?
One step at a time. You know, pick one thing. Don't feel overwhelmed. I tossed out a lot of ideas, but you can take a look and pick out one. Get yourself educated. Call your advisor. Find an advisor. Figure out what one step is going to head you in that direction that's going to end 2019 on a good note for yourself.
Fantastic. Appreciate the time, Danielle.
Appreciate the opportunity, Eric. If anybody wants to work with us face-to-face or learn about our journey of financial health retirement, reach out to us at www.wealthbydesign4u.com. If you want to listen to some blogs or listen to some podcasts, read some blogs, look at our other educational opportunities and group workshops, you can check out DanielleHoward4u.com.
Perfect. All right. Thank you again, Danielle. And thank you all for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast with Danielle Howard. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Danielle comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. Again, this makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Wealth Done Differently Retirement, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Wealth by Design, LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Danielle Howard, Certified Financial Planner, is an investment advisor representative of Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Cambridge and Wealth by Design, LLC are not affiliated.